Why should New Zealanders care so much about this?
Because your children will curse you if you don't.
The Wire.
You're back on Monday Wire with me, Sherry, and Deb. She's in studio with us, chilling. And so on our next story, it's about the Australian bushfires. So Kangaroo Island off the coast of Adelaide was temporarily closed over the weekend, with almost half the island burnt through by the Ravine 8 fire, with around 170,000 hectares affected. The Victoria and New South Wales fires have also merged into a mega blaze. According to the WWF, 1.25 billion animals are dead affected by the fires. And since the fires began in September, at least 28 people have died with thousands of homes damaged. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison has also been heavily criticised for taking a holiday while the country was affected. In total, 15 million acres have since been incinerated by the fires. Over the summer break, Deb and I visited our friend Gemma Finn in Victoria. And so Gemma is a freelance writer and journalist and is currently based in Adelaide, South Australia. I caught up with her on Sunday morning to get have an update about how the community's been with the Australian bushfires. And she also attended the climate change protest in Adelaide, which had around 3,000 people attending.
The bushfires are showing no sign of slowing down. Yesterday, Victoria and New South Wales fires joined to create a mega fire. So this has been going on for months now, and there doesn't seem to be any sight of relief. Even in Adelaide this week, our temperatures are in the 30s for the whole week, so it's pretty intense. We've seen the deaths of many people, the loss of thousands of homes and properties, the wildlife, the Australian flora and fauna that was lost. It's hard to comprehend.
Mm. Recently, I saw that Kangaroo Island was evacuated, which is pretty close to where you are at the moment. Do you have any information more on that?
Yeah. Basically, everyone in Australia knows somebody affected by these fires, whether that's directly or indirectly. So a lot of my friends and family know a lot of people from Kangaroo Island, including the two men who died from the fire, which is something Scott Morrison completely overlooked and didn't even acknowledge. But that's another story. But yeah, the Kangaroo Island fires, it's destroyed a lot of the island and caused a lot of evacuations. But it's been great to see the Australian community come together to raise money for these people. And some of my friends organised a carload of stuff and took it over to the island, including things like mattresses. So, yeah, it's been good to see everyone come together.
Mm-hmm. This is obviously very terrifying, and especially when you have people so closely affected. So how has everyone been holding up? How's the community been?
Well, we're angry. It's been beautiful in some respects. We've seen people come together. I'm sure you've seen Celeste Barber's fundraise, like $50 million for this. So it's been great in that respect. But on the other end, people are angry and we're grieving. Our entire country is on fire pretty much. And, yeah, like I said, everyone has been directly or indirectly affected by this fire. We're angry and we want change. It's just so heartbreaking to see, and, you know, there's little reminders when the smoke comes across the city and you wake up one morning and you can't see out your window, and it's just this rude shock that this is real, like this is happening here in our country. It's so hard to wrap your head around.
I was having a little read as well, just on updates with the fires, and I saw that another firefighter had passed away. So in terms of first responders and a lot of these are volunteer firefighters, how has that community been?
Also angry. You know, my father was a volunteer firefighter for many years. So I've done volunteer firefighting myself. I understand what fires are like, and I understand how heartbreaking it can be to see a fire destroy a property and a livelihood. But nothing that what we're seeing compares to this. It's hard to imagine exactly what everyone's feeling. But from what we're seeing in their interviews with them, and what they're saying on social media is that they're angry too. The lack of resources and support on a federal level for our firefighters is ridiculous. There's no support, and these people have been working, you know, 15, 16-hour days for months, volunteers, a lot of them, and it's just ridiculous. Like, yeah, I don't know, makes me angry.
Mm. A lot of people have been pretty angry at your current government and Scott Morrison. So do you mind walking me a little bit through as to why people are so frustrated with him?
There's just been a complete lack of leadership from Scott Morrison. To be honest, in my opinion, I don't care if he believes in climate change. I don't care what religion he follows. I don't care what he eats for breakfast or what he thinks about anything. But he needs to do the job that he has been employed to do, and that is to lead his country, which he is not doing. There's just been a complete lack of compassion for the people suffering. He went and visited Kangaroo Island, where two people had just died, and told the grieving community, oh, well, you know, thank God no one's died. It's just insulting that he can't even do the bare minimum. He's making Tony Abbott look like an absolute legend. You know, he seems to be more concerned with Iran and the cricket than his own country, which is on fire, and it's just appalling. You know, once upon a time it was mainly, you know, the younger generation, the hippie types who believed in climate change. But when your 70-year-old volunteer firefighters who have been on the front lines, you know, 30 years, are saying these are climate fires, step up, Scott Morrison, and do something. And he pretty much turns around and says, you know, oh, but the firefighters want to be there. Thank God for the cricket, hey. It's just it's a real insult to our nation. And it's showing that, you know, even our own leader doesn't care that these people are dying, they're losing livelihoods, losing lives. Like, and these fires, you know, they're still going now, but the damage it's going to cause in the long term and how long it's going to take to rebuild not only, you know, houses, but also, like, the physical damage, I mean, the mental damage as well. It's just, it's offensive, the lack of leadership that Scott Morrison has been showing. So in my opinion, I don't care what he thinks about climate change, but we want him to listen. We want him to learn, and we want him to lead, which is exactly what he's employed to do and what he is failing to do.
Scott Morrison has since said that it is, he does say it is from climate change, and do you think that's enough, or what do you want to see from him?
I think a lot of the damage is already done with Scott Morrison, as a lot of these things needed to be thought of sooner. And I guess, in my opinion, a lot of it has been to settle the media, but that's subjective, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that Scott Morrison, like, obviously, no one expects him to have all the answers, and there's no overnight solution to these problems. For me, it would just be to do the bare minimum, at least, and read your briefings and be aware of what is happening in your country so you're not offending those who are already, you know, grieving and have lost everything. In terms of climate change, I think he needs to listen to the science. You know, these are climate fires. That's not just my opinion. Science is supporting that. Our chief of the RFS says that himself. He is the man who would know. So I think Scott Morrison needs to be talking to these professionals and starting to make some change that way. We need climate action. And, yeah, there's no overnight solution. I don't think he should have all the answers. But just being willing to listen and learn is where I think he needs to begin, and to acknowledge the suffering of our country. There's been complete denial about, you know, everything from climate change to people's emotions. And he just needs to start acknowledging what is happening in our country and, yeah, show some leadership.
Mm. So recently you were at a climate change rally, a climate change protest. So how was the space and the atmosphere during that rally?
It was a phenomenal experience. Thousands of people showed up. There was everyone there from, you know, your greenies to your CFS volunteers, to people who had lost their homes in fires, and even a young girl who had fled from the Bega fires in New South Wales to seek refuge in Adelaide because she's an asthmatic and she couldn't breathe in her state. That's how bad the air quality is. So there were people from all walks of life at this protest. It wasn't just one demographic, which I think is one thing we need to point out, because there's been a lot of critics accusing those of being at the protest as, you know, these hippie types who are just angry and have no idea what they're talking about. But there were experts there, and there were people who have been directly impacted by these fires there. So that's the first thing I want to point out. The protest was beautiful. It was great to see everyone coming together for one message. It was peaceful. There were no troubles with the police or anything like that. But it was a chance for us to come together and to talk about what we want as a nation. And I think, for a start, the common theme was some leadership and for some compassion. Mm-hmm. The protest was fantastic, and it was so incredible to see thousands of people at Parliament House all coming together, all different walks of life, for the same cause.
Mm-hmm. What specific changes do you hope to see from Australia regarding climate change? Because I guess after COP25, you know, Australia was criticised for its disappointing stance on carbon emissions. So are you hopeful that there will be some changes in the way Australia proceeds in terms of climate change action?
Yeah, I just think we need to start a transition, and I think we need to listen to the experts for a start. And secondly, I think we need to look at where we're investing our money. I'm sure it's all over the news about the fossil fuel industry and where we're investing billions of dollars and what we're supporting. And I think that's what needs the overhaul first. Like I said, it's impossible for Australia to just, you know, completely turn and rely on solar and wind or overnight or something like that. But I think what the Australian public really want is just some acknowledgement of these climate fires and climate change, and the discussions and the starting of this transition away from these industries that have caused so much damage and that we are investing billions of dollars into. And I think as well, on more of a personal level, we need some new systems set in place for our volunteer firefighters. The volunteers that I know personally often are defending, you know, their homes, their family homes, their friends' homes, days on end, and there's no counselling services offered. There's barely any, money to cover what they lose. So I think on that level as well, there needs to be some changes made to that.
Mm-hmm. And with climate changes as one of the factors to the bushfires. I was reading a little bit up on it, and I'm not sure if you can speak on it as well, but there's been some criticism as well that Aboriginal Australians use controlled burning as a way of managing the environment. So is that something that you have knowledge about, that you can talk on?
I won't talk on it too much, but mm-hmm. what I will say is that from our First Nations people themselves, they are saying, you know, hazard reduction is a way to stop bushfires. That's true. The problem is that our bushfire season is extending, so the period in which they can actually backburn to do hazard reduction is becoming smaller, and that is a reflection of climate change, and that's coming from our First Nations people and our scientists and our RSS chiefs. That's not just made up bullshit, to be frank. That's the truth. So yes, hazard reduction would help to prevent fires, but we have less time to do that now because our bushfire season is extending because of climate change.
What can we do to support Australia moving forward?
These fires have been massive, obviously, and they're still going, but this is going to ripple into everyday life for a long time to come. So don't forget about us, I think, is the main message. It's great to see all these people donating and sharing it on social media now, but what about in a few months' time? Like, these houses and businesses and lives won't be rebuilt overnight. So we need to seriously consider our long-term support to Australia. Coming and visiting those towns when they're back up and running, investing into the local economy, not investing, but supporting the local economy, and just remembering that these fires, once they stop, if they stop, there's going to be impacts for a long time to come. And so don't forget about us, because this has been devastating, and this is the biggest fires we've ever seen in Australia. So this is huge, and yeah, we just really need ongoing support from the world.
Yeah. Was there anything else you wanted to add for today?
Fuck ScoMo.
That was Gemma Finn, who is a freelance writer and journalist from South Australia. You can donate directly to the New South Wales Rural Fire Service, Victoria Fire Service, the Wildlife Rescue, or the WWF Koala Crisis.